He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Benatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday, March 23rd. How are we doing? Hope we're doing well on this wonderful Monday afternoon. It's going to be a short show, but it's going to be a good one. We're taking you all the way up to 3:45 today at a Lakers pregame and Lakers tip-off from Detroit. So a little bit of a brief stop for us, but we should have some really good conversation here over the next 40 minutes or so. So lock in. Phil Benatti here, of course. We got all of our cast of characters, as we usually do. Of course, Tony D's show right before us. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays. You can listen to it live and on demand there on the 1430 ESPNFresno.com website or the ESPN Fresno app where you lock in with us there. Also, you can listen to my show normally from 3 to 6 on the weekdays. You can listen to it live on the live stream and on our Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch pages. ESPN Fresno is where you go. Palmetto Show, the Central Valley Sports Report, which returns this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, normally airing on Saturdays live from First Ring Sports. Also part of that content we are churning out. So lock in on all those shows, and you got all the coverage you need for the Central Valley and the conversations that we have. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you all. A Lee's Air Hotline is how you reach us. The Lee's Air Hotline is 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us on our show today, 559-320-1430. Sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Hopefully you needed that Lee's Air working for you last week with all that heat and mugginess maybe throughout the days over the weekend. 87 is our weather check for Lee's Air Hotline. 87 the high. Currently 86. We'll peak out to 87 by the time we tip off with Laker basketball. We're going to ebb and flow this week. Maybe a little cooler on Thursday, reaching only 80 degrees. It's going to peak up to 90 on Sunday, and then we kind of dip off down to the 70s again next week. So maybe expect some cooler weather. Maybe a little precipitation on the way as well. Could be on the way. I'm not fooling you on April Fool's Day. Could be some rain on that day for anyone who's wanting that. So this heat, this scorcher of a March certainly sounds like we may get the reprieve of that once April rolls in. So like I said, good to be here. Good to be talking with you all. We got a lot to discuss from the sports weekend, including Fresno State spring practice was on Friday. We, of course, didn't have our shows on Friday because of the March Madness that was going on. We'll recap a little bit of what we saw on the March Madness side of things, some of our favorite games from the weekend as well. And also, Lakers, man, they're on fire. They're on fuego. They're trying to prove me wrong. 9 in a row they've won, including that crazy game in Orlando on Saturday. I watched the end of that one with the buzzer beater, Luke Kennard, hitting a game-winning three-pointer for the Lakers to go win a basketball game, and of course getting you set for Laker basketball tonight. So that's what we got on the docket for you, of course. But before I get to anything, I got to go to our producer here today, who is doing the hard and arduous work of working for me for the next 40 minutes on this show, working with us. Jorge is over there behind the glass, and of course, as I always do on these Mondays, to anyone who's sitting behind the glass, I always have the question on my mind. Jorge, how was your weekend?
Hey, Phil. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was nice weather, and, you know, I was going to go to Fresia's Fest, but that ended up not happening because there was a lot of stuff going on over
factors.
There.
Factors. Certain factors.
Yeah.
I would imagine, you know.
I ended up playing poker at my friend's house.
There you go.
No, I pondered yes, Frez, yes, and I think more whatsoever than that, I think it was the heat that was getting to me on Saturday.
Yeah.
I actually, so I went.
Mugginess.
I was bored, and a buddy of mine presented me the opportunity to just go. You ever just want to go on a drive somewhere?
Yeah.
You just want to, like, get out of the house? I need an excuse to get out of the house. And so my buddy, he called me, and I was talking to him. He's like, well, my mother-in-law is going to take the kids, and I am going to go scout a shoot location for video. He does video work. And it's down in Hanford at Sierra Pacific High School. So the most fun I've had this weekend was me and a couple buddies riding with our friend who decided we would take the route down to Hanford. go just be at Sierra Pacific High School for like 30 minutes as he like figures out camera stuff. And yeah. We shipped on our way back.
Yeah, it's weird because down in like in the South Valley, yeah. Like, over there, there's like some scenery, you know?
I'm telling you, you know what's a nice little hidden gem of a little place? Layton.
Yeah.
Layton.
They got that river going on.
Yeah, they got the river going. And I'll tell you what, there it was just a special moment, like a guy's kind of moment. And me, I told Asa this because I want to get him on the show at some point. Back, he'll be back, I think, next week, just based off the timing of the show. But like the top five like guy things to do when you're hanging with the dudes, right? Like there's moments where you're hanging with the dudes, yeah. And you just appreciate guy stuff, right? And we had the ultimate guys moment as we were driving through Layton, because as we were driving through Layton, we're on this street that goes through Layton, and coming from the south, a train. Well, a freight train was on the railroad that goes along the side of Layton, right? If you've been to the town. And so the guy was honking their horn. We're doing the horn honking motion as you do, right?
Yeah.
And so the train is blasting its train horn. And as we pull up to a light where the train's passing us by, there's the fire department of Layton. And they're out there washing their fire truck. And we're like, man, this is like the best guy's time ever. You know? Nice. Like, fire trucks, trains.
Can't get any better than that.
We're vibing, man.
Hell yeah.
It was a moment. It was a moment we all enjoyed and had peace with in the middle of that day. 2 p.m. little ride down.
Yeah.
So
Sunday.
Saturday. We did Saturday. Yeah. But then I got out of the car in Sierra Pacific and Hanford. I made the conscious choice. Yeah, Frez yes is a Frez no for me. I am not going to go downtown and deal with that. I considered doing the trolley, which I think if it was a better weather day, I would have considered doing it. I'm not saying Frez Yes is not a bad event. My brother played down there for like 10 hours straight. But, you know, I think weather was more of a factor for me. I know there was an unfortunate incident on Friday night, you know.
No, yeah, I wanted to go more at night.
Yeah.
But then that poker thing came up, and I was like,
yeah.
All right, I'll go to that. And it wasn't Clovis, so it was kind of like the other way.
Yeah.
So I couldn't make it, but.
Well, it was funny because concurrently, while me and my buddies were doing the guys thing, the girls' side of our friend group was doing, like, dress shopping and, like, nail stuff. And then we ended up, without planning, until, like, the last minute, converging up at Heirloom and then having, like, a early dinner. It was kind of fun to see everybody just like come together and was like, hey, look at all of us doing the thing. So we were 13 deep at Heirloom, and somehow we got a table. Somehow we got a table.
Nice.
You've been to Heirloom before?
Yeah.
That line was crazy, man. At 4 o'clock and it's just out the door?
Yeah.
I thought we were hitting a good spot.
You gotta get the reservation going.
You know my favorite thing at Heirloom is?
What's that?
Garlic fries.
Oh, yeah.
They just got solid garlic fries, man.
They are good.
I know it's not like the number one signature thing, but that's where I'm rocking with there. But anyways, it was a good Saturday, good weekend. Sunday, I did a fantasy baseball draft with Paul Metters and his crew, and I'll tell you what. I feel like I won the draft, man. I feel like I'm solidified for the future here. Got some really good talent on my team. That's some really good bargain buys.
I think in the batting, like you're going to be a problem against anybody in the heating section, like in
right.
Your pitching stuff is more normal.
Well, if you realize what I was going into that draft with, Jorge. So for those who don't know, we did an auction and we did a dynasty. And so when you come in with a certain amount of players, you retain, but it just depends on what kind of free agency side you had. Everybody had about like $200+ in their budget to spend, like $200 to like $160. I came in with $105. I was very much the poorest man at the table.
This Paul Metters thing.
He's
really into it.
And somehow I walked away with Manny Machado at like $21. I walked away with Logan Gilbert at $18. I walked away with like Joan Duran, the closer for the Phillies, at like $14.
I think Paul was telling me he used to do it even before it became a popular thing.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing it. I looked at the league history. They've been doing it since like 09.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just came in last year. I didn't really quite know what I was doing. But it was really fun. It was a really fun time. I got some really good sleepers, some good sleeper picks in there. Like me some Colson Montgomery. Anyways, good weekend. Hope you had a good weekend. Trying to stay cool over the weekend. And I'm certainly refreshed and ready to go. And, of course, some people are ready to go with some news items. And we start with, of course, some fun stuff at the top of the Fresno State football team. And I promised some content today on this show today because we were there Friday for the first practice of spring. Next practice is on Wednesday, so they're doing a little bit of, you know, spacing the spring practices as we get closer and closer to the end of April with that spring showcase that everybody can attend. I think April 25th is when everybody can see these players for the first time to the general public. But fascinating new squad. 101 players on this roster, Jorge. 98 of them were practicing, which coach is saying that was one of the biggest rosters. It's the biggest roster he's ever had to deal with. You know what I mean? And it was good to see some of the new faces, some of the old faces, some of the familiar faces. Some of the great players that I'm excited to see on this side of the roster. But one key thing we know about this roster is so many returnees are back with the Fresno State Bulldogs. And I don't think this gets talked about enough of why that is. And some could point to, you know, the players really enjoying playing with each other, and that certainly is a factor. And I think other sides of the argument is that Fresno State has done a really good job, not just retaining players, but retaining coaches. Because, Jorge, how many coaches do you know left Fresno State this year? Can you take a guess? How many coaches had to leave, went and left and got another job at Fresno State after Fresno State last year?
I was talking about
any support staff, position coaches. Give me a guess on how many Fresno State coaches you think left from last year to this year.
It's going to be like 6, 7.
One coach,
okay.
Offensive line.
Wow.
And then they promoted internally. So everyone's back. Everyone's back. And I think the continuity and the ability of these players to have that relationship with all these coaches, clearly there's something working with these guys sticking around and being here because they want to work with these guys, makes it a very impressive offseason for the Bulldogs. And of course, the advantages you get with coming in the spring with the same kind of coaches. Coach Ench is certainly thrilled about it and pumped up about it. I asked about him in his first press availability on Friday.
Really, we have everyone. The only new individual we have is Spencer Petras, a new analyst that's going to help Coach Ferentz on the offensive line. But we just, you know, originally had created our staff to handle success because, you know, one of the negatives of success is you have some attrition at times, not only with players, but with coaches. And so when we lost Coach Crabtree, the ability to move Coach Ferentz into that role, a role that he is comfortable with, that he has a lot of experience with, one of the best O-line coaches in the country, there was some rationale behind how we put our staff together. And then moving our assistant O-line coach Haas into the tight end position really was pretty seamless for us. And then defensively, we've done a really good job of maintaining. Believe me, we've had plenty of coaches have had conversations or people have reached out, but again, we pride ourselves on being about our people and about our process, and hopefully that's part of the reason why we've been able to retain.
And Fresno State lands, I think, like one of the top 12 schools in retention of players. Even in this transfer portal era, they have retained like a top 12 snap count in college football this year of guys who played snaps for Fresno State, staying at Fresno State, and the continuity of what is surrounding the change of going to the Pac-12 is building a lot of confidence, in my opinion, to what this roster can be. There's certainly going to be areas of attack of this Bulldog program that's going to be questions that need to be answered. Two position groups on mine, quarterback and corner. Quarterback and cornerback. Don't get them mixed up. Just because they sound similar. But those are the two position groups I am obviously curious about, just based off of where we're going to replace the top end talent that we lost there, or just simply the graduating talent that we lost there as well. I got an interesting conversation one-on-one with Josiah Freeman as well. And Josiah, of course, as you know, and maybe you don't, or maybe you haven't really been paying attention to the news cycle, he's an interesting figure in maybe being the representative figure of why Fresno State retains the players that they're having right now going into this next season, because he is a poster child of what we now clearly see is tampering going on in college football, that Ole Miss allegedly got caught with the can in the cookie jar talking to him, trying to get him to be on their roster. And now he is once again a Bulldog, and there's reasons why. And we know with the coaching staff, certainly, but maybe we put it in his own words. I had a quick little 4.5 minute conversation with Josiah Freeman, so here it is.
Here with Josiah Freeman, who is excited to be back and ready to go. Of course, you're excited that you got that approval to be back for another year from the NCAA. Yeah. How thrilling is that to just have that off the shoulders and be ready to play another game?
No, it definitely took a lot of weight off my shoulders, you know, especially during the time it was being processed, was about around the bowl game prep. So I'm kind of just like, do I get ready for, you know, pro day? Do I get ready to come back? And then Coach Ann's finally brought me a couple of days before the game, and he's like, no, you got to prove. So that was a big, I felt like a lot of stress lifted off my shoulders, so I was able to go out there and play just because I know what's next for me, you know, as far as, you know, coming back to Fresno, you know, knowing that I want to be here and finish out one more year here and just lead the guys and have a great season.
You felt that momentum from the bowl game and one of the best games you've had as a player, you know, and so you wanted to capitalize, I'm assuming, on that going into this season. How much of that is in your mind about how you felt in that game against Miami?
Yeah, no, most definitely, you know, just feel like it's just gonna catapult into this next season, you know, just how much it just really shows me, like, you know, you really prepare, you really put the work in, you really, you know, meet with your coaches, you know, a lot of good things happen. And, you know, I just went out there, you know, played, you know, just did my thing. You know, I told myself before the game, like, you know, we all have our individual goals. Getting the win was obviously amazing feeling too, you know. That's another bowl game win, another ring, so that feels good. But yeah, just knowing that all the hard work I put in throughout the season, you know, really paid off. You know, that last game I finally, you know, really broke out, you know, had one of the best games I ever had JUCO or here, so you know, that felt really good.
Speak to the experience you've had this offseason too, because I don't know how much you can talk about it, but of course there's a little bit of news items around talking to teams, trying to talk to you, but you dedicating yourself to Fresno State and wanting to be here, you know, speak to that experience a little bit as best you can, and why the Bulldogs were this place you wanted to play.
Yeah, you know, just having some conversations with my position coach, you know, hitting Twitter, you know, all social media that I was coming back for another year. He told me, you know, just stay where your feet are, you know, just, it's all about what your end goal and what you wanted to do. And, you know, I've seen a lot of great receivers come out of Fresno State, you know, I've been behind a lot of great guys, you know, watching them make it to the next league, you know, have long careers there. So I knew I didn't want to go anywhere. And I started here, you know, it's been a while here. I've been in all positions here, you know, I've been the backup, I've been running scout team, you know, I did everything here. So I feel like it's only right that I finish out here, you know, finish off what I started. And that's what really went into it, you know, just starting here. I know the tradition, you know, the coaching staff changed, you know, a lot of players come and go, you know, met a lot of great guys here, you know, this is, you know, I built a life here.
one of the highest retaining groups here as far as just guys sticking around. You know, all the talk about transfer portal and all the talk about guys switching around. But why is this unit? Was it a lot of talk in the offseason amongst the teammates of like, guys, we have something really nice here? Was it a communal effort like that to keep all these guys together?
Yeah, you know, Fresno State, we just have the reputation of, you know, we're a family first, you know, then we're teammates. You know, we spend a lot of time on the field, but we also spend a lot of time off the field in the locker room. You know, one thing I try to do is I try to have, you know, just bring guys over to the house. You know, if there's a football game going on, you know, come over, you know, because we can all bond like that. And I think our connection off the field, it just helps us connect on the field. You know, when we get on the field, you know, it's competitive, of course. You know, we all want to compete, but I think that's just the love we have, you know. We know what Coach Entz is here to do. We know what we trust him bringing in the right support staff, bringing in the right players, you know, to help us lead and do what we got to do.
You got experience with Jaden, but working with this wide receiver group now, I know it's only day one, but what are you excited about just seeing kind of the raw talent coming in?
You know, a lot of, like I said, a lot of raw talent, you know, a lot of young guys, early enrollees, you know, you see the potential in them, what they can do. It's all about just putting it together, you know, learning the playbook, you know. But one thing I feel good is, you know, they're not afraid to ask questions, you know, ask for help. They look at me as the older guy, as the vet now, because, I mean, I am, you know, I've been here. Like I said, I've been in all positions. I was here with Cropper. I was here with Nico, Mac Delena, Jalen Gill, all those great receivers that came through here. So taking in what I learned from them and just pouring it into the younger guys that are here now.
I appreciate it, Josiah.
Thank you.
Important things said there from Josiah, and I really, you know, the history matters to some of these football players that come through here. He mentioned that he just wanted to finish where he started and be one of those names that Fresno State has established as kind of a wide receiver U a little bit, how it's kind of gone. So you're certainly going to be hearing more from spring camp as we roll along. I know the next practice is on Wednesday, so I'm sure we'll have some sound from that. But good first day on Friday, and just a few guys injured. Coach Entz disclosed that Bryson Donaldson's dealing with a little bit coming off of surgery, so he'll be getting healthy. Ryan Wilson also getting healthy there, but those are kind of two of the key cogs for Fresno State moving forward. So, all right. Overdue for a break. Let's take it. We got this break, and coming up next, we preview Laker basketball, a little March Madness recap. Get you set for Lakers Pistons next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Just a few minutes before we send it off to Detroit Rock City. We should have played Detroit Rock City. Do we have Kiss? I don't even know. Anyways, Detroit Pistons hosting the Los Angeles Lakers coming up tonight in literally a matter of minutes. 3:45 pregame with a 4 p.m. tip-off. Looking at you, Joe. Looking at you, what are your Pistons going to look like? I don't believe they have Kate Cunningham. Little injury report update for you. Brought to you by Davison Van Wagenen. Believe Cade's out. He had a collapsed lung, which sounds more terrifying than it might lead on to be. But he is expected to be out at least until the end of April into the playoffs. So we'll see what that looks like. Lakers don't have Rui tonight or Marcus Smart tonight, so we'll see what that looks like. Lakers are a point-and-a-half favorite on the road as Detroit is trying to navigate without Cade. 9-game winning streak now, the most Lakers have on their season. I genuinely am trying to make what I can about this this run for the Lakers, and they've certainly played a lot better. Luka's 60 points, a highlight on Thursday, of course, Luke Kennard with the big time bucket in Orlando on Saturday. It just is starting to feel like some moments are hitting for the Lakers right now. Is this too little too late for the Los Angeles Lakers? We'll see. But if you're a Laker fan, you have to at least feel a little bit better about what this team is turning into, which is highly a clutch team going down the stretch in these tight game moments, which in the playoffs, when you stare at defeat right in the face and you can grab a victory, those are important minutes that the Lakers are getting here in this late stage of the season. Are you peaking too high? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see with 11 games left where the Lakers will stand. Sounds like, and to me, I think firmly now, they're going to be sitting at that 3 seed in the Western Conference and most likely be getting ready to go at least home field for the home court for the first bit of the playoffs. So we'll see what it looks like. Lakers coming up in literally a matter of minutes, 15 minutes from now, here on the station. Favorite moments from the weekend, of course, Jorge, your bracket's not doing too hot. Mine is not doing too hot either. We had a rough weekend, Jorge. Came to March Madness. I enjoyed watching a lot of the games this weekend, though, despite the fact that we didn't see a mid-major get out of the weekend. Utah State was so close. They were tantalizingly close to beating Arizona.
I had Santa Clara in the Santa Clara game.
You rock Santa Clara. I had St. Mary's rolling for a little bit, but... I'm trying to think of the standout games from this weekend, just real quick. The VCU comeback on UNC when VCU was down like 19. That was on Thursday. What was the other big one that came back? High Point, of course, was awesome on Thursday. And even on the Saturday when they played. What was the buzzer beaters we had? We had, of course, we had
the Santa Clara one.
We had St. John's with the buzzer beater over Kansas on Sunday last night. Iowa's big shot in the corner to beat Florida.
Yeah, that was, I was going to say
73-72. What do you got? You got anything else off the top of your mind? The memories, the moments?
Iowa State doing good. It's I didn't expect them to be that good.
Iowa State?
I feel like they're...
Yeah, they rolled in their game yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
They beat Kentucky pretty darn well. Kentucky's half-court heave to tie Santa Clara in that game on Friday?
That was rough.
Man. So the madness certainly was there this past weekend. Are you finding that the games, because they're exciting, you're able to accept the idea that the big boys are still winning? And we're now into 16 teams left, no mid-majors, and here we are, just a few low seeds left. But even those low seed teams are certainly the big schools, like Texas, like Iowa.
Yeah, it just, I'm okay with it because, after all, this is where most of the best basketball is being played.
Yeah.
So I feel good about it. Yeah, I wish that there could be a little bit lower, like smaller schools in there and compete, but that's reality.
Right. Cal Baptist was making a fun little run in their game. I remember watching that. What else do we have? Man, I was sad about Miami of Ohio. That was a sad one. I wish that.
What is that? What is that one weird one? University, High Point. Is
it? Yeah, High Point, man.
Where did they come from? Like, I didn't even know they were a university.
North Carolina, and let me tell you, if you haven't seen pictures or understand the culture of High Point, I worked with the dude who went to High Point University. That is a different kind of people out there in North Carolina.
It's like
there is some schmoney. In that campus. There's some schmoney in that campus, let me tell you. Jorge, I looked this up, and I promise this is no lie. They have fine dining restaurants on campus for students to practice fine dining etiquette for when they become business people in the world. Like, you can go and have a steak dinner on the campus because they want you to practice the etiquette of being at a fine dining restaurant. And they also have a built-out fuselage, like an executive airplane, where you can practice your etiquette of being on an airplane in business school.
Wow. Well, how much is it to go there?
I'm gonna.
Because I feel like if I scrunch up some cans.
Yeah, you want to go to High Point? Get your master's.
I might make it. Give me a High Point. Get some of that lobsters and steak dinners.
For tuition, housing, and food, Jorge. It'll run you just about $70,000 annually. Jesus.
No, I ain't doing that. All right, stay at first now.
They got an ice cream truck that just rolls around. If you want ice cream, you can
just
get ice cream.
Just rolling around randomly? Yeah.
You can just get ice cream whenever you want. Just an ice cream truck.
Jeez.
They've got like little meadows where they play Bach in like classical music, so you can just wander around and be immersed in the culture.
No wonder they made it all the way to...
Their basketball arena is insane. I don't know if you've seen their basketball arena. Pretty state-of-the-art stuff, man. They flew out. You know where High Point was playing their games, right? I think it was Portland.
Yeah.
High Point's in North Carolina. Portland's in Oregon. Yeah. And they flew out 500 kids private. They just got two planes or three planes or however. How many? I don't know how many people could fit on a plane. How many planes does it take to fly 500
Depends
people?
Depends on the plane, really.
Hopefully they didn't have to wait 7 hours in TSA to get to where they needed to go.
Jeez.
Yeah. Anyways. 500 kids, and people were like, yeah, wow, look at the dedication of High Point. I'm like, yeah, because when you're charging $70,000 a year to every student, man, that money's got to go somewhere. It was still fun. High Point was a fun story. I like their coach. Clayman, yeah. I think his name is. Mm-hmm. He had some moxie to him.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Trying to think of anything else that happened over the week. March Madness, man. I still got my champ. I still got my championship game intact.
Me too.
Duke and Michigan.
I have St. John's and Michigan.
St. John's and Michigan. The St. John's team's fun.
Yeah. I was scared of them because it was too close for comfort last time.
And we were watching the St. John's game during our fantasy draft, and somebody was like, who's that vampire on my screen? And I was like, ah, that's Rick Pitino. Who's that vampire?
The bump.
Yeah. Shouldn't he not be in daylight? And I'm like, they put him in San Diego. He has to like be careful when he leaves the arena. Because it was like midday when they finished playing that game against Kansas. Crazy. I know there's some other big stars out there in this tournament. I'm excited to see how it'll all play out, of course, in Sweet 16, Elite Eight. We got the coverage for you, right, Jorge?
Yeah.
Thursday and Friday. So, yes. Little update on the schedule. It's going to be pretty wacky, the schedule this week.
Yeah, I'm going to try to put as much, baseball and basketball
right.
in.
To my understanding, tomorrow, we're only going 2 hours tomorrow because we got Kingsburg and CVC tomorrow mm-hmm. in a battle at Kingsburg. Myself and Paul Metters will be calling that game live at 6:15 pregame with a 6:30 first pitch, theoretically. so we'll get there and have some fun. Wednesday, I know for a fact, we'll be doing the Giants opening day. Aaron Judge versus the San Francisco Giants, which is a 4:35 pregame with a 5:05 first pitch. And of course, if you don't have Netflix, we're also always a great option to listen to the game. And then Thursday and Friday, March Madness. I think we'll have a little bit of a show Thursday. I think for sure we won't have a show Friday because Giants runs right up to the March Madness side of things. So that's on my understanding there. So should be good. Lakers 1.5-point favorites. Last couple minutes before we got to go. Bron's been playing well in the fact that he hasn't gotten away in the recent situations. And, boy, he got hacked at the end of the Orlando game, and I'm surprised he didn't get more irate when he threw up that shot. But thankfully, Lakers, if you're a Laker fan out there, still got the win with Luke Kennard happening. Man, Orlando should not have lost that game, by the way. Lakers really got away with one. But it's going to be fascinating. Pistons, like I said, I've been looking for some landmark wins for this Lakers side. They haven't really beat, the double dip with the Rockets is really good. Can't really judge it tonight if you beat the Pistons in Detroit because Cade's out. So just a couple games left on the docket for this Lakers side to really prove themselves. OKC is a couple times, that's it. Outside of that, I think the Lakers can kind of cruise to the finish line here and surely earn that one seed. That three seed. All right. Luka, plus 40 tonight, Jorge? Plus 40 for Luka? Plus 40?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
Plus 40. Plus 40 for Luka. I'll go with it, too. Fresno State baseball is still going at it tonight. Let's bust that losing streak. They got Long Beach State.
Hopefully.
Let's get that out of the way.
Are those the dirt bags?
The dirt bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want something to do tonight, that's over at the baseball stadium right here.
Pete Biden.
Let's go bust that losing streak. Monday Night Baseball over there. So, all right, that's it for us. Good show, Jorge.
Great show.
We worked those 41 minutes, didn't we?
Yeah.
We'll be back 3 o'clock tomorrow with a 2-hour show. Till then, Laker basketball coming up next from Detroit on 1430 ESPN.